Well, on the line now, we've got Plymouth University's Associate Professor of Mechanical and Marine Engineering, Dr. Jasper Graham-Jones. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Can you talk us through, it's now been confirmed, a catastrophic loss of the pressure chamber. What exactly does that mean?
The pressure chamber, the bit that holds all the crew and all the sort of critical equipment, the engines would be outside that. The covering would be outside that. The front cowling would be within inside that. Any inside section would be critical to that. The landing gear could be out, would be outside that. When the initial discovery was for the parts, you know, like the nose, bits that weren't connected to the pressure chamber, then are sort of quite hopeful. But at the moment, we've got the implosion affecting it on the carbon fibre part of this, which is the pressure chamber. Then that's where, and that was actually in the front of the bow of the Titanic. It was like 1,600 feet away from the bow. So it's not where, you know, nowhere near the dirty areas of the back end of the ship. So it's quite critical.
In terms of the physics, what has gone on there in terms of how an implosion would actually happen? Would something have cracked? Do you have any theory on how that would actually go so tragically wrong?
The new thing with this is that they tried to make a long tube, effectively like a long, you know, like a long sausage. The ends have survived. It's the middle section that's actually catastrophically imploded on itself. What they were having is that the hull was 5 inches thick, and that is fine for the first run. But as this goes deeper, and it went for 25 times, all of these occasions will actually produce small cracks within the hull structure. And these can actually come together and become a catastrophic failure. And this is where, you know, it's carbon fibre has a network of channels running through it. You know, it's not a pure material. It's like a piece of wood, and it has structures. And you can split along these wood structures. And this can lead to tiny little cracks that then go to a major catastrophic fail.
So you're saying that each time this submersible went down, it would be deteriorating the condition of it?
Yes.
Therefore, definitely. Was this a foreseeable event?
I think so. Generally speaking, the loadings under this, you would normally have class rules to check on and this, and they didn't necessarily check after running this, didn't do non-destructive testing. They didn't check on these sorts of things, and these can be quite small. And as the pressure is so high, a small defect, a small delamination, which is critically where this carbon fiber splits, any small delamination like this would actually cause a catastrophic failure, and it would effectively fold on itself.
No, you carry on.
The critical thing is that when they're doing this, that it's like a ball, you know, there would be, it's a ball, but because they wanted more customers in there, they needed effectively like a sausage, and the weakest bit is in the centre of the sausage.
So the actual shape of the vessel made it less stable. In terms of then regulations around this, were there any? Are there any? And were they sufficient?
Because it's international waters, they didn't need to apply for any regulations. When the sub went down in the Mariana Trench, they had four class organisations checking to make sure this is correct. With an engineer, I've got calculations, and I would want to check it with other engineers or other people who would have different opinions, and you might end up making it twice as thick, but then you make sure you have it a longer lasting process, and clearly they didn't necessarily think of these things. I think that might change in the future.
Would you, they're saying they're not sure when the implosion would have happened. When would you suspect it had happened? Because obviously they lost communication fairly early on.
That was my initial thought, that they lost it there and then. But if it was believed that they did hear people and that was actually correct, then it could have been that it went down and, you know, but I think truly it was actually failed on the way down on the Sunday. And it was catastrophic from that point.
And that, Dev, just finally, I heard earlier being reported that the force of the weight, the compression weight, had been compared to that of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fine because you have similar sort of structural loads on aeroplane wings. You have similar structural loads on bridges. That's not an issue. It's just making sure that your structure is high enough and can be withstand this. But there's also the issue, if you were looking at this on a once go, then that would be fine. But you're putting this on a what they call a fatigue loading, and that fatigue loading at high pressures means that little cracks lead into bigger cracks, which is why sort of aeroplanes are sort of lifed and put in a field at the end of their lines.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us this morning. That is Dr. Jasper Graham-Jones, Associate Professor of Mechanical and Marine Engineering at Plymouth University.